Welcome to The Good Liars Tell the Truth. I'm Jason Selvig. DeVrom Stiefler is on assignment in New Orleans right now. We are recording this inside the United States Capitol. And we were here today for the joint session of Congress. I was actually in the room where it happened, in the gallery, in the last row of the gallery. But I was two rows away from Elon Musk. And we'll talk more about that later. But I also had the chance to talk to some of the House Democrats, including Representative Eric Swalwell from California, who is the reason I was able to be in the room for the joint session. We want to welcome to The Good Liars Tell the Truth, Representative Eric Swalwell of California. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey. Yeah. I appreciate that. In the interest of full disclosure, I want to say you are giving me a ticket to see the joint session tonight.
Yeah, you're my
to
guest.
See Donald Trump.
Yeah,
I'm the guest.
Don't fuck that up.
But I want to say there's going to be no softballs here, okay?
Yeah.
So get ready. I have the ticket on
right.
me, so I can say whatever I want right now.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to start it with a softball right off the bat.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here in your office right across the street from the Capitol. And on January 6th, 2021, we were right outside there, and we saw a mob of Trump supporters storm the Capitol, interrupting the certification of a presidential election. You were inside. Can you just briefly tell us how you feel about having Donald Trump return to the scene of the crime, I guess, so to speak?
Yeah, it was a crime that he convened. And it's not just that Trump's going to be back. Many of the cops who protected us are going to have to protect this guy today. And we've heard that many of our Republican colleagues are inviting, like, freed, pardoned, liberated January 6th folks.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Do you know how many are coming?
We don't. I know that there is just kind of angst among my colleagues of, like, really? What the fuck? Like, these guys.
Do you know who it was? Who amongst your colleagues are the ones that are
bringing
them?
No.
Okay. I mean, I have a couple guesses, but.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Spent some time at the jail with.
Yes. So yeah, it feels a little weird to me. I'll be honest. They're going back here. Trump coming back to the White House. But he's delivering a speech for the first time in over 4 years to the joint session.
Yeah.
The last time. When was the last time? Was it right before COVID?
It was
the last State of the Union?
No, it was 2020.
2020.
Yeah, right before State of the Union. Right before COVID.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot has happened since then. And now Trump is back in power. What do you expect to hear from Trump tonight?
Oh, he's going to walk into the chamber as the stock market is crashing and prices are rising. And he's just going to air his grievances. He's going to punch Democrats in the face. And, you know, he's going to pander to Elon Musk and others who, you know, are in the audience for him. But no one at home is going to say, oh, yeah, that guy, he gets me. He gets why. I work hard and why, you know, I want stuff to be less expensive. They're just going to see someone who's incompetent and clownish. And if anyone's waiting for him to, like, rise to the occasion, like, that's not happening.
Right. That never really happens. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he said blame to plane crash.
Yeah, 80-year-olds famously get more reasonable as they age. Yeah.
It's funny. Well, he's kind of always been that way, too, which is funny. But so I just want some predictions before we get into some other stuff. If you get this right, I'm going to send you a Hal's soda for every one you get right, because we've just found out we both like Hal's soda, Black Cherry. And that's not a sponsor. So predictions for viral moments. Who's going to have the viral moment of the night? You think it's going to be Trump, or you think it's going to be a reaction from somebody? And if so, who?
I'm a big believer in, like, don't try and out-Trump Trump.
Okay.
And, like, don't.
Don't out-stupid stupid.
Yeah. And also, don't. Be authentic, right? If you're moved by something and it's authentic, that's great. But I think voters want us to stop being so, like, scripted and polished and just be real. And that has been missing. But I can just tell you, though, talking to my colleagues who have been at home at their town halls, like, we're not just going to sit there and get punched in the face. Like, we're not going to be quiet and compliant with this guy. Like, we're going to defend our country and our constituents. And so, I can't predict exactly, you know, what that moment is, but I'm not going to just sit there and take it from this guy. Like, that's, and I'm not going to a MAGA rally today, right? Like,
right,
I'm going as someone whose job is to be a check on an abuse of power. And I respect why some people might not go tonight, but I just feel like I want to watch this guy, and like I don't want to take my eyes off him.
So on that note,
yeah,
I mentioned it before. You invited me to come here tonight.
Yeah. You got my back on this, right? You're going to watch too. And
I'm going. I got the ticket right here in my pocket. And, you know, it'll be very interesting to be there. And, yeah, I told you before, Marjorie Taylor Greene asked me, I would do it. I would be like, yes.
Yeah, I got you.
We'll buy you dinner first, whatever you want. I want to see the joint session of Congress. But thank you, number one. But my other question is why?
Why you?
Why me?
Yeah.
Why me? Why the good liars? What about this moment makes you think we should be at a joint session?
I think
Congress
Democrats are lousy communicators. We approach communication as like winning a Harvard Law School moot court competition.
Yeah.
And we try and speak to the head. And you got to speak to the gut. And like you're talking to someone in a bar room or a bus stop. And I think what you guys do really well is you can call bullshit. Two, you're not like mean about it. And I don't think you have to be mean to make a point. And three, you have an audience that we really need to be communicating to, particularly young people. And young people want to know, like, who is this party? And, like, do they see me? And will they fight for me? And are they real? Because they think most politicians are just bullshitters. And I think, you know, you all reach that audience. And so if we're just going to communicate through MSNBC and CNN, we'll be a permanent minority.
Right. So I guess on that note, recent polling, Democrats, House Democrats in particular, polling 21%, the lowest approval rating in history. Why is that in your mind? You're there.
Yeah.
And what do you have to say for the other 79% of the people that you're trying to win over? Obviously, there's some like hardcore MAGA people in there. You're never going to win them over. But what about everyone else, like the people that you can sway? That's a lot. That's a lot of people that don't like you.
Yeah.
You. You in particular.
We got to show fight.
Okay.
We got to show that we understand why they work hard and what it's supposed to mean to them. And again, we just have to be real. What frustrates me is Republicans, when they have power, they will fight for unpopular issues that they believe in, like, you know, their anti-abortion agenda. Like, that's not popular with most people. Or giving everyone, regardless of your criminal history, a gun, right? Like, that's not really that popular. When we get power, we're like, oh, it's so intimidating. We got to find consensus. And, like, let's make sure everyone's bought in. And we don't want to violate the customs and the norms. And, oh, the filibuster. Like, don't mess with the filibuster. And American people, like parents, are like, fuck that. I want my kid to go to school and come home. Why don't you go do something about that? Because that's what most parents want. And so it's shame on us in many ways that we have not better used the power that we have. And so I think that is an issue with people, is they want to know, if we give you responsibility, are you going to do something with it?
So what's the issue? Like, just looking at the Democratic Party now, like, we're going back, looking at the 2024 election, you know, like, you can go and you can look at it, people be like, oh, let's not relitigate the past, whatever, whatever. To me, like, I go to a lot of Trump rallies.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen the videos, like, I talk to a lot of people. I disagree with a lot of them on a lot of issues. One issue that I found myself agreeing with Trump supporters on was what happened in the 2024 election, where Joe Biden was out there running and the media.
You mean 2020?
Excuse me, the 2024 election. Yeah. It's the 2024 election. I do not agree with them about what the 2020 election, because they think Trump won it. One issue was the 2024 election, where Joe Biden was running, and it was kind of clear to me and a lot of people, it felt like, that he wasn't up to run for another 4 years. It didn't seem like he had that ability. And he wasn't communicating his wins or spinning his losses the way, like, you know, Trump does, really. I mean, I know Trump's like a liar, but he spins stuff. And a lot of people felt like there was like a lying to that happened to him. How does the Democratic Party plan to rebuild that trust after that? Because that's such a big monumental thing. Yep. And people think like, oh, that was a long time ago. Not for the average voter. Like that's what the Democratic Party was for an average voter. So how do you turn that around?
Well, I can only control what we do next.
Okay.
And what I believe is that we should promise our voters that we will not nominate anybody 70 or older.
Okay.
We have the oldest elected president now. And so we should be the party of the future. And I think that can earn you trust with the voters, that, you know, you get some of the concerns that they have. And by the way, Donald Trump is not, he's not going to get better as he gets older. I mean, he's already mentally in serious decline. Physically, he's like limping up onto stage. I mean, he's not going to get better. And so if we promise to nominate someone 70 or younger, I think that'll go a long way with voters.
Do you think there should be some sort of public acknowledgement in like a big way that would reach people? Just because it was such a big thing.
Yeah.
And to me, I think about it. I think about it just because I was like, I had these thoughts and I didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt like there was some unspoken thing about like, he's the guy, you got to do it.
Well, that's why I think actions speak louder than words. Like, will you promise, will you put it in your DNC platform, we as a party won't nominate anyone 70 or older? And I think that would speak volumes.
What if you're 68? And you're
my wife told me that. She said
this is going to be the video that comes back.
The beep ending is that like you peak when you're 68 and there's like some weird movement for you to be president.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry.
Sorry, this law that you passed, that you passed. So the Democratic Party moving forward, what's the issue? Because that's the thing. It's like Republicans for with Donald Trump, he says, hey, I'm running on the border. Yeah. I'm running on the economy. And what is that issue?
Yeah.
What are the issues for Democrats? If somebody was like, I don't know who I'm voting for.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. In two sentences, how would you describe the Democratic Party? Why people should gravitate to the Democratic Party?
We should dance with the one that brought you. For us, it's healthcare. Like people trust us more than anyone else.
Does that mean single payer?
On healthcare. To me, that means healthcare for all.
Okay.
Any way you want it. If you that the government, there should be a government option. And if you want private insurance, you prefer that, great. But there's healthcare for all, absolutely. And to me, be a guardian right now as Donald Trump tries to take it away. 32% of Americans get it through Medicaid. That's how he's going to pay for his tax cuts. And the 2018 midterms, where we kicked their ass in the midterms, won 40-plus seats, the single issue that really galvanized our voters was that we were going to protect their health care. So I don't think we can abandon that. But I do think we have to also show who Donald Trump sees. The people that he sees when he thinks about who he fights for are the billionaire bros who sat up on that stage. And that's who's going to benefit the most, and their kids and their kids' kids from these tax cuts. And so a simple message of Republicans are for the rich, Democrats are for the rest, to me, I think that breaks through as well.
So how do you get on that note with billionaires? One thing, when we went on the road, I was like, you know what? This is an issue. I can't believe more people aren't talking about this. We should talk to people about billionaires and how they're paying a lower tax rate than the average person, and that they make this money. And it's, you know, there's 800 billionaires that control more wealth than the bottom 50% of Americans with wealth. And I was like, oh, this is the issue that unites them. But a lot of people are like, no, that's capitalism.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
How do you change that? How do you change that viewpoint, I guess, from people like who, because a lot of people actually think that's a good thing, that there's royalty, you know, in the country.
Yeah. We should support middle class capitalism, which is a free market economy, not a free for all economy. And in a free for all economy, you should ask every voter when they pass this billionaire giveaway, okay, I know what Elon got out of this, but like, what did you get? And what do your kids get? And even more so, what do you lose? Like, what are you losing? It's probably going to be your health care. And by the way, we can be a party that roots for success. Because I, as a kid who grew up living in, you know, like 11 different homes and going to 13 different schools before I graduated high school, like I saw, you know, what it was like to work hard and want to be successful. And we shouldn't be a party that roots against success. But to me, it's an abundance for all.
How much is too much? Is there a thing as too much money? Like, does Elon Musk have too much money? Like, almost $400 billion.
That's your money, though. Too much money is like when you keep giving one person taxpayer-funded money. So, yes, that's too much government money. He's a welfare queen.
And with Elon Musk and billionaires in general, like, should billionaires exist? Do you think they should actually – should they exist?
I'm not against billionaires. Okay, I want everyone to have the opportunity – to succeed.
I disagree with that, though. I disagree. Maybe I have to get my ticket.
But that's
back.
What those folks—that's what those folks are telling you. That when they say, "No, we want, we don't root against billionaires." I think they don't
want the state to cap what their ability, thinking they're going to be the person.
And my
to do
mom
that.
And dad, who are Republicans, like they were, if they were being honest with themselves, they knew they were never going to be billionaires. But they also wanted to know that, like, we were in a country. As I said, it was a free market. If they really worked hard, there wouldn't be a limit to it.
Right.
I just think, as I said, like. One, it should be an abundance for all. And, right. And two, if your success, like 40% of it, is coming from taxpayer dollars, you should probably not be the asshole that's trying to take away right. everyone's healthcare. Because if I had $40 billion that the government gave me, I also wouldn't worry about Social Security or Medicaid.
Right. So with Elon Musk, if you could describe Elon Musk in just a quick sentence. Describe Elon Musk in a quick sentence.
His cuts are making us less safe. Like, he, no question, was a brilliant businessman, right? And I live in the Bay Area, and we've seen Tesla in California, you know, SpaceX. But his fiduciary duty has always been to investors and his board, and never to people. And so he's not going to make any cut that's going to make you safer. So when he gets rid of bird flu monitors when egg prices are going up, that's not efficient. When he gets rid of FBI agents when terrorism's on the rise, that's not efficient. When he gets rid of FAA workers when planes are crashing and nearly colliding, that's not efficient. And when you get rid of CDC employees when measles is on the rise, like, that's not efficient. His duty has never been to people. And everyday people still count on the government for things that a guy like Musk just will never be able to understand or deliver.
So with that, how do you fix the messaging there? I know I'm doing a lot of brainstorming with you right now, but the messaging of how, because Donald Trump says, I'm going to run this like a business. Yeah. He puts Elon Musk in.
Yeah.
He's running it just like he ran Twitter. I mean, he's doing what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he ran Twitter was like literally almost to the ground. And then, you know, they were able to like make it work again. How do you change the messaging? What's the sentence for Democrats? You want to run the government. You want to help people.
Yeah.
What's the sentence?
Yeah, don't defend inefficiencies, defend people. And his cuts are hurting people and people that he doesn't see and will never see. And the people who he's hurting also will never in their life know a billionaire. Like, and so he's not connected to them at all. And they shouldn't think that they're protecting, you know, anyone that sees them at all. And so if we can't communicate that, then that's shame on us.
Okay. So moving forward, Democratic Party, what would you like to see the simple message be moving forward?
Republicans are for the rich, Democrats are for the rest. I think that conveys like who we are and who we fight for.
All right. And then are you going to yell, Trump, you're boring tonight?
That would piss him off more than anything. Just, yeah.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
And it did, he didn't get pissed off.
Yeah.
But I just want to know if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to do it?
Do you think he's going to be boring?
Always boring. Yeah. I've never gone to a Trump rally and been like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Be like, that's crazy, but it's also boring because it's like formulaic and he does the same thing all the time. But
yeah. Well, I'll just give you a Trump here. We'll just have to wait and see.
Okay.
Have to wait and see.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining. Any closing words?
Yeah. Look, our constituents right now, they want us to know that they don't feel safe and they want us to fight. Now is not a time to shrink. And to any of your viewers who are like demoralized and dejected because they got punched in the stomach after the last election, I would just tell them, I get it if you're on the sidelines right now. Like, I'll fight for you. I know some colleagues who will fight for you. And when you want to join us, join us.
And what does that look like? What's something somebody can do besides call you, which is the big thing? But
well, I mean, make sure that we are not funding this madness when they need our votes in a week or so, you know, to continue, you know, Musk's government that's hurting people. We shouldn't give them votes and make them well. Get us a Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin that is going to get rid of the gerrymandered lines that have kept us in the minority. Make the waters warm as we, you know, head into the midterms where the best people across America see fight in us. That's going to go a long way.
All right. Well, Representative Eric Swalwell. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
All right. Thanks for giving me a ticket, too. You know, a little quid pro quo here. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm on the Amtrak train and on the way back to New York from Washington, D.C. Our train is stalled now. There's power outages, I think, because of the storm that's going on. And I'm just recording this audio so to fill in the gaps here because I realize that you don't know who I'm talking to on some of these things. So I'm going to jump in here and tell you who I'm talking to. The first person I talked to is Norma Torres from California, and at the beginning of it, she says I'm very tall, so then I get down on my knees and conduct the interview from my knees, which was an uncomfortable choice, but we were almost at eye level.
So what do you expect to hear from Donald?
I should wear my big brushes. I'm
What do you? No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll do the whole thing from here. We'll do the whole thing from here. It's fine. Is this what you wanted?
No.
What do you expect to see from Donald Trump tonight?
Lies. I expect to hear lies from him. But what I would hope to hear from a president would be some accountability, some transparency as to why he surrendered his power to Elon Musk. He is the president of the United States. We can't just go out and fire an entire group of people that our constituents are depending on for the services that they need.
And what are your thoughts on Elon Musk? If you could describe him in 5 words, what would it be?
The richest man in the world. Disconnected.
Disconnected, okay.
I would say he's very disconnected.
When you saw him go on stage with a chainsaw, with sunglasses on, inside, what was going through your mind?
This is not a playground. This is not a joke. This is not satire. These are real lives, human lives, that he is impacting, and I don't think he understands that.
This is serious.
This is very serious. We are in a constitutional crisis created by Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
And people are throwing that word around, constitutional crisis. What makes this a constitutional crisis? What has happened thus far that makes it a constitutional crisis? Have there been judges' orders that have been totally ignored at this point?
Judges' orders have been totally ignored, but even more than that, Congress has surrendered its power to the richest man in the world and to Trump.
Do you mind if I get off my knees for 1 second?
Absolutely.
This is a totally different view up from here.
I know.
And then I know you want to get down the line, but so moving forward with Democrats, the approval rating for Democrats right now, House Democrats, 21%. What can the Democratic Party and members of the House, such as yourself, do to turn that around?
I think what we're doing is getting out there and talking to our voters about why this is not just a congressional, a Democratic problem. This is a problem that was created when voters believed a lie. And the power is not just in Congress. The power is at the ballot box.
Are you talking specifically about the 2020 election, or which lie are you talking about?
I'm specifically talking about this last election, where a lot of Democrats, independents, voted for Donald Trump because they thought he was going to work on bringing down the cost of living. Unfortunately, that has not happened.
Is this an oligarchy we're living in right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Should billionaires exist?
I don't think billionaires should exist. I think millionaires should exist, but I don't think billionaires should exist.
Hell yeah. You're the first person to answer that correctly in my mind. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
You're taking advantage of your workers. The federal minimum wage has not been raised in 30 years. Come on, it's time. You think housing is expensive? Housing is expensive because people can't afford to work 2 or 3 jobs and they still can't pay rent. It's time to raise the wage.
Can I get a billionaires shouldn't exist on 3? 1, 2, 3.
Billionaires should not exist.
Well, we kind of messed that up. Can you tell me your first and last name?
Shree Thanedar.
And where are you?
I represent Detroit, Michigan, Michigan 13th. You know, the corporations always have the power. You know, as long as Citizens United stand, corporations, big money will always be in politics and influence our politics.
Why isn't that one of the Democrats' talking points, is getting rid of Citizens United and getting money out of politics? Because obviously, you look at somebody, the richest man in the world just gave $300 million. It's what? It's like 0.08% of his wealth, I think. Yeah. We tried to do the math before. How is that not a talking point for Democrats?
It has to be. It should be. We have to. I think if I can fix one thing in the United States government, is get rid of Citizens United, because that is the biggest evil in our society. If that goes away, the influence of big money on our politicians go away. Until that happens, the politicians are going to be, to some extent, influenced by, controlled by the big money, by corporations. The reason nobody talks about it, not many people do, is because both parties take advantage of Citizens United.
So should there be some of this where Democrats are eating their own? Calling people out? Like, do you want to call somebody out who's taking money from big corporations,
well,
Democrat?
There is just about everybody there are.
Do you?
Yeah, every.
You do? You're just talking about how you don't do it. You take money from big corporations?
That is the system right now, and
you are just saying that we should get that you don't do that, and then but you just said you do.
But I'm not going to unilaterally disarm myself. But I want this thing to go away.
Didn't you just say that you don't take money?
Well, look, most of my money is privately funded. So I put most of my money, my personal money. Okay. So I pay for my own elections.
Okay. Well, where was your job before serving the United States of America?
I am a serial entrepreneur. I am an immigrant. I grew up in poverty in India. I was 24 years old. I came to the United States on a student visa to get a PhD in chemistry. And then I got a job in as a chemist. And then I started a small business that developed new medicine to save lives. And that's how I made my money. And then I put most of my money into my elections.
Oh, great.
Yes. So any money I took.
How much money do you have?
You know, a few million, a few tens of millions, not hundreds of millions. But I spent many, many millions to fund my campaign. So any money I may have taken from others is minuscule compared to the money that I put in.
But you were just a rich person influencing your own election in that way. So it's still sort of part of the same problem.
Yes, we still need to get rid of the big money. There is no reason a United States Senate race should cost $100 million and more. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
And we need to shrink the election period. We need to put some definite limits on it. We need public financing for our elections. That's what I would like to see.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
The train's moving now, so that's a good thing. Next, I talked to Representative Timothy M. Kennedy from New York in the Buffalo region of New York. He's a very nice guy. Just started in Congress, so I feel a little bad for really hitting him on the messaging question. But it was a funny back and forth.
You know, he claimed that the 2020 election was stolen from him. And he had a mob of his supporters storm the Capitol and told him to march to the Capitol. All this happened, but he has a higher approval rating than House Democrats do right now. Even after all of that, why is that? And what do House Democrats have to do to turn things around in the eyes of the American people?
Well, first and foremost, it's day 43, and his approval rating is plummeting, along with the stock market, along with the economy, as the cost of goods and services continues to skyrocket. Just what he said he would do during the course of the campaign is lower the cost of goods and services. It's not holding true. Just like all of the other lies and mistruths that he stated throughout the campaign, time after time after time. And so the reality doesn't meet what he's spewing. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, I believe that our economy stands to continue to move in the wrong direction because of the tariffs he's putting in place, because of the place that he's placing us in the global community by attacking our greatest allies like Ukraine.
I was asking about Democrats in particular. Like, how do you turn, like, it's one thing to say Donald Trump is doing bad stuff.
Sure.
Because he's doing bad stuff.
Sure.
That's like the status quo, right? Obviously, there's something with the messaging that's not resonating with people right now. What's the simple answer to turn it around? And really, like, it's a two-sentence answer in your mind. Like, what do you think the simple answer is?
You're right. Got to go back to basics. You know, while they won the election, the bottom line is they say it's a mandate. They say a trifecta. Fine. You know what? We'll give it to we're about 2026 while they're trying to implement Project 2025. The bottom line is we got to stand up and fight for working families. We got to give people a better wage for the work that they're doing across this country. Increase the minimum wage. Fight and stand up for people's health insurance. Make sure we have access to quality education for our kids.
What's the one thing, though? Because I'm just begging Democrats to have some message.
Yeah,
like,
well,
what's the message? The sentence.
His
is build the wall.
It's
I'm in a lower cost. Like, what is the message for Democrats?
At halftime, if you're down in a game, you don't go back and start with a new playbook. You know what? You go back to basics. And that's what we got to do. We got to remind the people of America what we stand for as Democrats.
I mean, it's kind of the opposite of that. Like, it's like you don't throw out the playbook, but you maybe try and do a Hail Mary at one point, depending on how far you're down.
Yeah, but no, people right now are concerned. It's not the end of the game, so it's not time for a Hail Mary. And people are concerned right now about the state of our country. There is chaos in our country. And what we've got to do is we remind them what we stand for as Democrats. We stand for the working class. We stand for a fair wage for a fair day's work. That's why I brought Peter DeJesus, the president of the AFL-CIO in Western New York. While the services are getting gutted with the workforce across this country, you know, we can't just ignore what's happening. We are right now on playing defense. That is a fact. And so what do we have to do? The best defense is a good offense. We have to get out there. We got to remind people who we are, what we stand for, why we're fighting, not only to stand up for working class Americans, but what we stand for, quality education, making sure people...
This is the longest one sentence answer ever. You went through two sports analogies. Best offense is a good defense.
Yeah,
This. No, true. I mean, yeah, it's true. It's something people say. Bob, it's like, what's the simple answer? Because you know, you can see the losing in the messaging. You have to feel that, right?
Yeah, of course. But I said it to start. Simple answer. Three words. Back to basics. And what are the basics?
What are basics, yes.
And that's what I said. The basics.
Then we went on the football thing?
Football, baseball, basketball, whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is...
It's a slam dunk. If you hit, if you're down and serve and it's 40 love.
But right now it's a time to fight for the moral compass of our nation. And that's what we're doing.
I want that simple answer. I want the winning strategy.
Back to basics.
What the fuck are basics, though?
I already told you. I went on a tangent about basics.
We went through five different sports.
Okay.
I'm literally begging. Like, there needs to be a simple thing. Whether it's income inequality. You got billionaires. There's your bad guy. Why not just take that? Or healthcare for all. You're going to do that. Why isn't there the simple answer? Why isn't there the build the wall that Republicans have? I know that things are complicated, but the message doesn't have to be complicated.
Republicans are great at messaging. They're terrible at governing. They've proven it time and time and time.
You can't govern unless you message. So they're governing now.
But what I'm telling you...
I'm trying to help you right
what
now.
What I'm telling you is we've got the message. We just got to remind people...
Don't have the message. I got to tell you, man, you don't have the message.
Next, I talked to Lori Trahan from Massachusetts. She was very lovely to talk to. Really appreciated it.
Do you feel like there was a betrayal of trust between the Democrats and the general public about Joe Biden's ability to lead, to run for another 4 years, not having people speak up and say anything? And if you do think so, what can Democrats do to regain that trust?
So I think the loss of trust comes from a number of things. One, look, I think that people didn't want to wait for that debate for there to be a change in Democratic leadership. Two, people weren't feeling the economy that we were talking about, right? We knew better times were coming because of the macroeconomic trends, but people weren't feeling that, and so it didn't feel authentic. And then two, where we message to people. We were not where people were. We did not take advantage of, you know, people like you, people who have followings, and just get our message out in a lot of different places. And so we have a fair...
What's the message?
The message is that we're...
We were just talking about this before we started filming, and I was like, what is the Democrats' message? What's the simple message? What is it?
The simple message is to make life easier and to decrease costs for the American families. I grew up in
How? So that's like an idea. That's not a build the wall. We're going to build the wall. That's an accomplishment. That's something to do.
When you think of all the ways that people are suffering right now, you need a party that's going to be focused on building more housing so that we can decrease the cost of housing, decrease the cost of child care so people can go pursue the career of their dreams, making sure that education is affordable, whether that's college education or getting into a technical program so that they can pursue one of these new jobs that people keep talking about. Those are the types of things that people want. I went to public school. I grew up in a family that lived paycheck to paycheck. I was the first person in my family to graduate from college. That's all people want. They want to have an opportunity to be better off than they are today. And that's what Democrats...
That's never the problem with Democrats. Democrats always win on ideas. I'm pressing you on this because, like, you just lost election against a convicted criminal, you know? A convict, and had other cases pending. Because of a messaging. He gave a very clear message, like he works in entertainment. What is the message? You're saying childcare. Is it you're not going to pay more than $100 per month or per week on childcare? You're not going to pay $100 more a week on for groceries? $100. It stops there. That's the message. But like, what is it?
Which most people can't afford even today, right?
Well, why not? Why not something like that? Why not like a pie in the sky thing? And then you can like figure it out afterwards. He said he was going to build the wall. He built a couple miles of it.
Yeah, a couple miles of it. And Mexico didn't pay for it. And, you know, the gig is
so lie bigger. Long. People, politicians are lying all the time. Why not lie bigger? And why not lie coherently? What is the message? That's what I'm saying. Like lowering the costs is, it's not a message. That's all. Yeah, everyone wants lower costs. Like, what's the plan?
Yeah, but hold on. We have a track record of actually doing big things to lower.
But also, there's a track record of people not knowing that you did it.
You're right. And that is definitely a problem that we have to overcome. And we have to solve for that. But we kept insulin at $35. Right. We lowered premiums for people, health care. Democrats have the trust of Americans when it comes to health care because of all the work that we've done there. We have to do that across all the places where, you know, people are shelling out too much money more than they can afford. But
I have a message for you.
Okay.
This is Jason Selvig's message to the Democratic Party. You need a message. And it needs to be simple. And it needs to be something you can actually is a plan. Not just lower costs, not this, that. Because what does that mean? Of course everybody wants that. Everyone wants lower costs.
This president ran on lower costs, and that is precisely why he won. He will talk about a mandate to do all these other things like DOGE and wiping out Social Security.
Yeah, but he said on day one, I'm going to do it, which is a fucking lie, but he said he was going
to
do it.
Democrats are not into lying to the American people.
Don't lie. Make a plan. Do it. No more than $100. You can use that. I'm not even going to, you don't have to say.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel like you're gainfully employed, so you don't want to work in the policy shop of a Democratic
Not Congress. Policy shop. No. No, thanks. I don't get enough attention there. Yeah. Obviously, I need that. I need some, approval.
You know, there are policies that work, and there are policies that we have to go back to in terms of pocketbook issues for Americans. That's what these elections are about. And I think where Democrats messed up last year, we were talking about too many things and not the things that mattered in people's lives. And so to your point, yes, a very, five-point plan on how we're going to reduce housing prices, of course. And we will have that when we go into election and win back this House.
You promise? Because I haven't seen something like that recently.
And
I want to check back in. I want you to come on our podcast.
All right.
And to do a progress report a month in a month.
All right.
Okay?
I'd love that.
Okay.
And I'm going to have some catchphrases.
Please have some catchphrases. Look me up on Instagram, and okay. Then we'll schedule a time.
All right.
What's my name?
You know?
Another politician lying to your face right there.
No.
All right, Lori, I'm just kidding. About that, you are not a lying politician. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I want you to come back on the show in 2 weeks or a month, and let's discuss. Let's hear the new messaging. We can do a little test with it with Devram and I, a focus group, if you will. But Congresswoman, we really really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, as well as everyone else there in the Capitol taking the time to discuss things with us and, answer some tough questions, I think. But I think we need to be asking tough questions of our leaders right now, especially with what's going on in the White House with Trump and Elon Musk and the like. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time.